We continue Be'ezat Hashem in Masechet Moed Katan. We are on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the last word of the third line. This limud is Le'ilui Nishmat Baruch Ben Shelomo, Shelomo Ben Reuven, Erez Ben Miriam, Shaul Ben Latifa, Sulika Bat Chana, Esther Bat Letizia, and Simcha Bat Letizia, Alehem HaShalom. We are up to where it says, Rav Shara Lechia Bar Ashi. Rav permitted, he allowed, Chia Bar Ashi, Le Migdal Uhari Bechula de Moada. He allowed him to put together, to weave simple traps, animal traps. Le Migdal Uhari. Rashi says, Shetzadim bo Dagim, nets that are used to trap fish. So the Gemara says he allowed him to make one on Chol HaMoed. My tama, what's the reason? Maaseh hedyotu, because it's something that is easily done, even by someone who's not professional. Aval izle asur, but to make izle. Izle are more complex types of nets. Rashi says that they are used to hunt birds. And so those types are asur, maitama. What's the reason? Maase umanhu. Because that is the work of a professional, of a craftsman, and therefore it's asur on Chol HaMoed. Rav Yehuda shara le'ame tanura'a le'migdal tanure. Rav Yehuda shara means Rav Yehuda allowed ame tanura'a. Ami is a name, and he was a oven maker. Tanura'a. Ami, the oven maker. Rav Yehuda allowed him, on Chol HaMoed, le migdal tanure, to make ovens, to construct ovens. Ule Rabba bar isbe le migdal mahulta. And he allowed Rabba bar isbe to make, to construct sieves, with which we sift flour. That's mahulta. Rashi says, nafa. Eini, is that so? Vehatana Rabba Bar Shmuel, Rabba Bar Shmuel tore braita, veshavin, she'en godlim tanur lechatechila. Everyone agrees that we're not allowed to construct a oven from scratch, from the beginning. So how did Rav Yehuda allow Ami Tanura'a to construct an oven on Chol HaMoed? Answers the Gemara, an interesting answer. Lo kasha, it's not a question. Kan bimot hachama, kan bimot hageshamim. It's not a contradiction, because this that here, where Rav Yehuda allowed him to make an oven, that's referring to the yemot hachama, it's referring to the summer, which means in Chol HaMoed of the summer. Which Chol HaMoed do we have in the summer? That's in Pesach, when the weather is hot and it's dry. So therefore, when he makes the oven, it can dry out quickly and already be fit to use on the Chag itself. So being that he's making the tanur on Chol HaMoed, and it will be useful for the Chag, because he's making it out of clay, and the clay will dry out very soon because of the weather, so then it's mutar. Kan bimot hageshamim. But in the Braita, where it says, En godlim tanu lechatchila, that's talking about Chol HaMoed of Sukkot, where very often it rains, and therefore the weather is the type of weather that the oven will not be ready for use for the Chag when you make it on Chol HaMoed, and therefore making it on Chol HaMoed will be asur. The new Mishnah begins with the following words, Osim ma'ake lagag velamirpeset, Maase hedyot. We are allowed on Chol HaMoed to construct a ma'ake, a railing, lagag, for the roof, vela mirpeset, or for a balcony. Rashi says something very interesting. He says, kotel ktana ha'asuyim ala itztabot, a little wall or a railing that is made on platforms, shelifne ha'aliyot gedolot, that are made next to the big mountains, ke'en sheyesh al sfat nahar Rhinus, like you have at the edge of the Rhinus River, where and so Rashi is using that as an example of what a railing for the mirpeset, for a balcony, is. But you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, ma'aseh ediyot, in a non-professional manner. in a way of Hidyot Gemara will explain, avalo ma'ase uman, not in a professional and skillful way. Shafin et hasedakin, we are allowed to plaster the cracks in an oven. Shafin et hasedakin, Rashi says, shebatanu, u'ma'agilim otam b'ma'agila, and we, after filling them in with plaster, the cracks, we are allowed to roll over them with a roller. That's a ma'agila. That was a wooden tool that was used to smooth out the clay. Bayad o baregel. You can do it also with the hand or with the foot. Aval lo b'machlatzaim, but not with a special tool that was made, that was designed for pressing and straightening out the clay that you fill in the cracks with. That's a special tool that is used on Chol HaMoed. If you're going to do so, you shouldn't use that tool. You should use a regular, simple wooden tool, or with the hand or with the foot. The Mishnah continues and says, Hatzir, that's referring to the door, a hinge of the door. Hatzir, tzir shel adelet, the hinge of a door. Vehatzino, and the hole into which the hinge goes, the cylinder of the hinge. So that's called the tzino. Vehakora, and the cross beam that holds the door together. Vehamanul, and the lock. Vehamafteach, and the key. Shenishberu, any one of these that broke on Chol HaMoed, metaknan b'moed, you're allowed to fix them during Chol HaMoed, ubilvad shelo itkaven la'asot melachto b'moed, as long as you don't plan to do it ahead of time during Chol HaMoed, which means you leave it, you delay fixing it until you're off from work during Chol HaMoed, then you'll do it on Chol HaMoed, you'll fix them. That is not allowed. But if it happens that it broke during the Chag or during Chol HaMoed, and you need to fix them on Chol HaMoed, it's mutal. V'chol kevashim shu yachol le'echol mehem b'moed kovshan, and all food that you want to preserve, that you want to pickle, which you are going to be able to eat already on the Chag, which means if it doesn't take too long to pickle them or to preserve them, and they can be ready to be eaten in a short amount of time, meaning during the Chag, kofsham, you're allowed to preserve them, you're allowed to pickle them during Chol HaMoed, because it has a tzorech, it has a need for the Chag. Now the Gemara goes back to explain the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah said we're allowed to make a railing for the roof or for the balcony in a way of ma'aseh hedyot, but not in a way of ma'aseh uman. Hechidami ma'aseh hedyot. What exactly would be considered a ma'aseh hedyot? So we have two opinions here, and similar to what we learned earlier in the Masechet, Rav Yosef amar behutza vedafna. Rav Yosef says to make the railing out of hutza, palm branches, vedafna, also types of palm branches, of bay trees. This is not a permanent structure. It's a bit flimsy, after all, and therefore it's allowed to do that, to make it that way in such a temporary way during Chol HaMoed. Bematnita Tana, in the Braita, it was taught another way that would be called Ma'aseh Hedyot, Tsar Bitzro, Ve'enotach Betit, to fill in the space with stones, which means to make the railing like a sort of a wall made of stones stacked up one on each other, but not to plaster the stones with clay or with tar. And so that's also considered a temporary and unprofessional way, which would be mutal to be done on Chol HaMoed. Then the Mishnah said, Shafin et hasedakin, we're allowed to fill in the cracks in an oven on Chol HaMoed, u'ma'agilin otam b'ma'agila, and we're allowed to use a wooden roller to smoothen out the cracks. And then the Mishnah continued and said, and you could use your hand or your foot, but not with a special tool, not with the tool that is called machlatzaim. So the Gemara asks a question. Hashta b'ma'agila amar tshare, you already said that with a wooden roller, a ma'agila, is mutar. Bayad u'baregel mibaya, is there a necessity to continue and tell me, or you could use your hand or foot? If you can even use a certain kli, which is a ma'agila, that's more professional, right? So surely you could do it just with your hand or foot. So why continue and tell me something that's so obvious? Hachi ka'amar. The Gemara says this is what the how you should answer, how you should read the Braita. The Braita is understood this way: Shafin et hasdakin u'magilim otan ke'en magila. You fill in the cracks and you're allowed to smoothen them out as if you are using a roller. And how? Beyad uvaregil. So you roll over them, you smoothen them out as if with a roller. How do you smoothen them out? With a hand or with a foot. But avalo b'machlatzaim, not with the special tool that presses and smoothens it out. Then the Mishnah said, "Atzir ve'atzino ve'akora ve'amanul ve'amavter shenishberu mitakenan b'moed." You're allowed to fix them on chol ha'moed. The Gemara says we have a stira, we have a contradiction. Ureminhi, we have a contradiction from another Mishnah, a Mishnah in Masechet Maaser Sheni, Perek Hamishi. It says there, "Ad yamav haya patish makeh b'Yerushalayim." Over there in the Mishnah, it says, until the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Over there the Mishnah tells us a few takanot that Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the ancestor of the Hashmonaim, he made a few takanot, and one of them was to be machmir on Chol HaMoed. He made a takana that people are not allowed to work on Chol HaMoed using metal utensils, such as hammers and the like. So that's why it says in the Mishnah, "Ad yamav haya patish makeh b'Yerushalayim," until his days. So working people would use hammers to beat in Yerushalayim during Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara is medayek, "Ad yamav in," until his days, it was done. Mikan va'ilach lo, but from then and on, after Yochanan Kohen Gadol, it was not allowed to use a patish a hammer during Chol HaMoed. So how can you, this contradicts the Mishnah here that says that we're allowed to fix certain items that would require using patishim, using metal utensils. I mean, to fix the door hinge, to fix the cross beam, to fix the lock, the key. So how do we understand this? It seems to be a stira between the Mishnah here in Moed Katan and the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. Answers the Gemara, lo kasha, it's not a question. Kan bede napache, kan bede nagare. When is it asur? That's referring to the type of metal utensils that blacksmiths use. These are much heavier metal utensils, and it creates a lot of noise. That is what is asur. That's what the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni is referring to. Kan bede nagare. Over here, the Mishnah is referring to nagarim, to hammers used by carpenters, which doesn't make as much noise, and therefore it's mutar an chol ha'moed. Mat kifla Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda asks on this strongly, Yomru, what kind of halacha is this? People will say, kala rabba asir. A lot of noise is asur. Kala zutra, but to make a little bit noise is mutar. What kind of a svara? How is that logical bichlal? A lot of noise, not allowed, but a little noise, yes, allowed. People will not understand this. They will ridicule this answer. And so this doesn't make sense. Ela amar Rav Chisda says, this is the answer. Lo kashya, it's not a stira between the Mishnayot. Habe magale, habe chatzine. Our Mishnah that allows certain melachot to be done with metal utensils is magale. It's talking about sickles. A sickle is used to reap, to harvest wheat. It is a type of metal utensil, but it doesn't make noise at all. Habechatzine, the Mishnah there is referring to chisels. That makes noise, and therefore it is not allowed. Rav Papa says we can answer the stira in a different way. Kan kodem gezera, kan leachar gezera. Which means, here in our Mishnah, it's referring to the time before the takana of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So before the takana, it was mutar. And that's why our Mishnah says you're allowed to fix the man'ul and all those cases and use metal utensils. Whereas the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni is talking about after the takana. After the takana is asur. Rav Ashe Amar, Rav Ashe gives a different answer. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah in Masechet Maaser Sheni, which says that it's asur, was going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, whereas our Mishnah that says it's mutar is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, as Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, Man tana shinui b'moed b'davar ha'aved, de lo ke Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, who is the Tana that taught that all the labor that you do on Chol HaMoed has to be done with Shinui? Shinui ba-Moed. Anything that you do in the Moed has to be done with a change, in a different way, in an altered way. Bedavar ha-Aved. Even with regard to something that's Davar ha-Aved, something that is just a matter of preventing loss, still you have to do it b'Shinui. Who is Machmir like that? De lo ke Rabbi Yossi. That's not like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi allows to do a labor on Chol HaMoed, which is for the purpose of Davar HaAved, even without Shinui, to do it in its regular way. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is the one who is Machmir. So therefore, our Mishnah here that allows it, that's going according to Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah in Maaser Sheni that's more Machmir in what's allowed in Chol HaMoed, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Keman madlinan haidana kabyuta de dasha bechula de mu'ada. In accordance with whose opinion do we, madlinan, do we lift up haidana nowadays in Chol HaMoed, do we lift up the kabyuta de dasha? That's the lintel that's above the door. That's the top piece of the tzurata petach, of the entrance. You have the two doorposts, that's the two sides of the door, and then on top, you have the lintel. So that's called kabyuta de dasha, and many times they would have to pick it up in order to remove any kind of nails that became loose in it. So according to whose opinion do we allow to do that even on Chol HaMoed? Keman ke Rabbi Yossi, like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who we just mentioned, that anything that is to prevent financial loss, that is to prevent Davar HaAved, you can do it in the usual way on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah said, Kevashim shu yachol le'echol ba-Moed, kovshan. Any foods that you want to preserve, that you want to pickle during Chol HaMoed, if they can get ready very soon and be ready for eating even on the Moed, on the Yom Tov itself, then it's mutar. So the Gemara tells us the following. Bedita, that Bedita was the name of a river, one of the rivers in Bavel. Like we have one city called Pumpedita, the edge of the river Bedita. So Bedita is the name of a river. Levai Kevare. One time it happened that the river of Bedita overflowed and it deposited a large quantity of fish in all kinds, all over the river bank, all over people's fields. And because it overflowed and gave off a lot of fish, Azul Kule Alma Tsod Aitu Kevare. Everyone went and they trapped. They caught fish for themselves and they brought it home, and it was Chol HaMoed. Shara lehu Rava lemimlach minayhu, and Rava allowed them to salt the fish that they brought. Amar le Abaye, so Abaye said to Rava, how do you allow them to salt the fish that they caught on Chol HaMoed? Vehatenan. But we learned in our Mishnah, Kevashim shu yachol echol mehem ba-Moed, kovsham, only food that you can preserve and pickle that will be ready for Chol HaMoed or for the Yom Tov, then it's mutar. But in this case, there was a lot of fish, and it's impossible to eat all that fish on the Chag. And therefore, preserving them and salting them should be asu, because it was a large amount. Amale, so Rava answered Abaye, Kevan de meikara adata de achila aitinhu. Since in the beginning, when they caught all those fish, they didn't know that they were going to catch so much. But when they started catching the fish, it was with the intention of eating them during the Chag. It only became clear to them afterwards that they brought a lot. So now the problem is, ve'ishavik lehu pasde. If they're going to just you know, salt some of the fish, but leave most of them without salting them, they will go lost. They will be ruined. So the din is kipragmatia ha'aved dami. So now it is compared to merchandise that will be lost. It's davar ha'aved v'share, and it is mutar. That was one version of the story. The Gemara says a second version. Ve'ika de'amre, some say, shara lehu rava meitzad mezal aituye umimlach. That Rava allowed them to go do everything, to trap the fish and to bring them home and to salt them. Amar le'Abaye, Abaye asked him, "V'ha'anan kevashim shu yachol le'chol mehem kovshantna." But we learned in the Mishnah that only the amount that you're able to preserve and be ready for the Chag is mutar. And it happens to be that these fish were salted a lot, were heavily salted, and therefore you have to wait. After salting them, you have to wait a certain amount of time until they're ready to be eaten. You can't eat them until they are thoroughly dried out from the salt. So that's why Abaye is asking, they're not going to be able to eat them during the Chag, because it needs time for all this amount of salt to be dried out. Amar le, he told them, Hane nami mitachli agav, he told Abaye, Rava answered Abaye, Hane nami mitachli agav itzetza. These salted fish can also be eaten now. You can eat them now. You don't have to wait. How can you eat them now? Agav itzetza. If you squeeze out the salt and the brine, if you press them well, they can be fit to be eaten during the Chag as well. Ki hade Shmuel, just like the case of Shmuel, avdule shitin itzatze ve'achal. For Shmuel, they prepared for him salted fish that was just recently salted, and they prepared it to him by pressing them 60 times, and he ate them immediately. Rava ikla lebe resh galuta. Similarly, Rava came to the house of the resh galuta, of the head of the galut in Bavel. Avdi leshitin itzetze ve'achal. They prepared for him, again, freshly salted fish, and by pressing them 60 times to dry them out, he was able to eat them immediately and he didn't have to wait. And so that was Rava's answer to Abaye, why it was mutar on Chol HaMoed, although normally that's true. Normally you have to wait a while after salting the fish, but since it's possible, there is a way how to eat them immediately, it could be ready for the Chag, and it's mutar on Chol HaMoed. Now, related to all this Gemara about eating fish, the Gemara tells us a few interesting things regarding fish. Rav ikla lebei Rav Shefir. Rav visited once the house of Rav Shefir. Aitu lekamayhu hahu kevara. They brought before them to eat certain fish. Very unique. Tilta bishula. One third of the fish was cooked. Tilta milcha. One third of the fish was salted, and they prepared it by pressing it, like we just said. Ve'tilta tavya, and one third of the fish was broiled. Interesting. Amar Rav, Rav said, another piece of information. Amar li Adda tzayada. Adda, the fisherman, told me the following information about eating fish. Kevara samuch le misreche ma'ali. Fish that you, after catching the fish, you leave it out for some time, and when it's close to spoiling, right before it begins to spoil, it's at its best. That's the best time to eat the fish. Ve'amar Rav, and Rav said another thing. Amar li Adda Tzayda. Adda, the fisherman, told me. And here the following is said in a sort of poetic way. Kevara, with regard to eating fish. Tavya be'achua, broil it with its brother. What's the brother of fish? That's salt. Because just like fish, salt also comes from the sea. So when you're broiling fish, broil it with salt. Asuke be'avua. And then when you finish broiling it, place it in its father, which means place it in cold water. And the water is called the father of fish because that's where the fish comes from. Mechle bibre, eat it with its son. Eat the fish with its brine. The brine comes from the fish. Atzir, the tzir that comes out of the fish, that's brine. Eat it together. Bibre, mishte ale avua. And then after eating fish, drink after it its father. Once again, the father is water. Ve amarav, Rava says a third thing that Ada Tzaida told him. Amarli Ada Tzaida. Ada, the fisherman, told me about the following three items of food. Kivara, fish. Tachle, that's cress. It's a type of grass plant with very small seeds, like mustard seeds. It's called cress. Vechalava, and milk. So these three things. Fish and cress and milk. Lit'on gufa, velo lit'on puria. Again, poetic way. Let the body carry them. Lit'on gufa, but don't let the bed carry them. What does it mean, let the body carry them and don't let the bed carry them? Which means after you eat them, go for a walk. Let the body carry them. Go for a walk after eating them. Don't go to sleep. Don't let the bed carry them. So important to remember this. Ve'amarav. And once more, a fourth piece of advice that Rav says, Amar li Ada Tzaida, that Ada the fisherman told me. Kevara tachle ve'chalava. Fish and cress and milk, maya velo shichra. It's better to drink with them water and not beer. And if you don't have water and you only have beer, shichra velo chamra, then drink beer but not wine, or else it's not good for the body. If you look in Tosfot, dibra matchil kavra samuch lemisrechem ma'ale, remember we said that the fish is better to be, it's best to be eaten right before it spoils. Tosfot says, Bizman hazeh, in our times, it's actually dangerous to eat the fish like that. And also the other thing of drinking water after fish, Tosfot doesn't agree that that is good nowadays. And Tosfot says, Shema nishtanu, maybe the natures have changed. The nature of our body by now, or maybe the nature of the medicine type of ideas that Chazal give us. Rashi says, Tosfot says, "Kemo arefuot shebashash she'enan tovot bazman hazeh." Many of the medicines that Chazal tell us don't work today. Or it could be that the Naharot of Bavel, that the rivers of Bavel that gave forth the fish, were different than where we get our fish today. So it's interesting. Look in Tosfot. Do we apply these pieces of advice to our days and to our locations or not? Hadran alach mashkin beta shelachin. Hadran alach mashkin beta shelachin. Hadran alach mashkin beta shelachin. Perek Bet begins on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Bet, and it starts with more halachot in regards to doing melacha on Chol HaMoed. So let's begin. Let's see. Mi shehafach et zetav ve'ero evel o ones. This is talking about pressing olives to make oil. So now, let's say a person already turned over his olives. Hafach et zetav. That's the beginning of the process of preparing them for the oil press, for pressing the olives. Before they are pressed, they're turned over, they are mixed and mixed. So now he had it already. Hafach et zetav, he already prepared them to be pressed. Ve'ero evel, and then what happened was, he became a avel, a close relative, lo alenu, died. And as a result, he was not allowed to do work. O ones, or some other unavoidable accident happened to him. Or shehitu'uhu po'alim, or let's say his workers misled him. They promised to come and they didn't come. So now he was not able to press the olives before Chol HaMoed. So again, what is he allowed to do on Chol HaMoed now? So Rabbi Yehuda, we have a machloket. To'en kora rishona umanichah le'achar HaMoed. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, in this case, he's allowed to be to'en kora rishona. He's allowed to put the olives in the press and put weights on the beam, on the big wooden beam, for the first pressing of the olives. So, and then after that, leave it till after the Chag, and continue the pressing of the olives after the Chag. So the first pressing is allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zolef Vegomer, Vegaf Kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says he's allowed to press the olives and to do the complete process. And then even up until the end, Vegaf Kedarko, when he puts the oil into his barrels, he's allowed to seal the barrels with tar in its the usual way, because otherwise there's going to be a loss. And that's why, and Rabbi Yossi says that it is allowed. As we mentioned earlier, Rabbi Yossi is the one who is Mekel, and anything that is Davar Aved, there's no reason to do it Bishinui. You do it Kedarko, you do it in the regular manner. The Gemara notices, Patach Be'avel, or Be'evel, V'siyem Be'moed. The Mishnah began with the case of Evel, that a person became a Avel, and that's why he wasn't able to work. V'siyem Be'moed, and then the Mishnah ends off talking about Chol HaMoed, that Chol HaMoed was the reason he's not able to work. So what's going on here? How do we understand this little switch, this change in the Mishnah? Amar Rav Shesha Bered Ravidi. Rav Shesha Bered Ravidi says, Zot Omeret, we learn from this, the Mishnah is coming to hint to us the following, that Dvarim Amutarim Bamoed Asurim Bime'evlo, that the things that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed are not allowed to be done during the Shiva, during the 7 days of Avelut. That's why if, let's say, the Shiva happened before the Chag, and he was not able to prepare properly for the Chag because of the Isur of doing Melacha during the Shiva, that's why on Chol HaMoed he's allowed to do that which he wasn't allowed to do during the Evel. So that's why the Mishnah began with Ve'ero Evel, and he wasn't able to do anything. So, and then the Mishnah continues and says, To'en Korah Rishonah Manicha Le'achar HaMoed. He's allowed to load the first Korah Rishonah, to do the first step, and leave it till after the Moed, which means during Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah is hinting to us that what we are allowing him to do during Chol HaMoed, he was not allowed to do in the time when he was Avel. Ravashi argues, Ravashi Amar, Lo Mibaya Ka'amar. The Mishnah is said in the way of Lo Mibaya, that it's surely mutar, which means lo mibaya bime'evlo demidrabanan hu v'share. The Mishnah began with the time of Avelut, and then it didn't even bother telling you that you're allowed to do it on Avelut. The Mishnah lo mibaya, it didn't have to tell you that during Avelut it's allowed, because midrabanan hu, not doing work during Avelut, that's only isu midrabanan. So therefore, this would be allowed in this case. Ela afilu b'moed, the Mishnah wanted to continue to tell us a bigger chidush, that even during Chol HaMoed, the isu melacha midoraita, where the isu of doing melacha is really midoraita, bimkom pseda sharu rabanan, in a place where performing such a work will prevent a loss, it is mutar. Rabbanan say it's allowed. According to the first opinion, Rav Shesha Bered Ravidi, the way he explains the Mishnah, he's machmir in Avel, that what is allowed in Chol HaMoed is not allowed by Avelut. According to Rav Asher, no, it's the other way around. What is allowed in Chol HaMoed is surely lo mibaya ka'amar. I don't need to tell you that it is allowed during the Avelut. However, the Gemara continues and tells us, Tanya kevate de Rav Shesha bere de Ravidi. We have a braita that is supporting the opinion of Rav Shesha bere de Ravidi, that by the Avel were machmir, that he's not allowed to do these melachot even bimkom pseda. Look at this following braita. The braita says, Elu devarim haosim la'avel bime'evlo. The following things other people do for the Avel, meaning the Avel himself is not allowed to do, but only others can do it for him. And here are the cases. Zetav hafuchim to'anim lo. If he already turned over his olives and they're ready to be pressed, and then he became a Avel, so other people to'anim lo. Other people put the weights on the beams in order to press the olives. We see immediately, like Rav Shesha Bered Ravidi, this which was allowed, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, on Chol HaMoed, is not allowed for the Avel to do. You need other people to do for him. but we're going to continue the braita. It's quite a long braita. Vechado laguf, or let's say he needed his kad, his cask, his barrel, to be laguf, to be sealed with tar. That also other people have to do for him, not him. Upishtano leha'alot min hamishra, or let's say he needed his flax to be lifted out of the water in which it was being soaked. If you don't remove it, it's going to rot, it's going to spoil it, it's going to spoil. So other, and then he became a avel, he's not allowed to take it out from the water, other people do it for him. Vetzimro leha'alot min hayora, or let's say he was cooking wool in a very hot pot in order to make dye. So, but after he was cooking, after the wool was put into the boiling water, he became a avel. So now you need to remove the wool from the pot, or else it's going to be lost, it's going to get ruined. Other people do it for him, not himself. Umarbitzim sadehu mishetagia onat hamayim shelo. And other people are allowed to irrigate his field mishetagia onat hamayim shelo, when his turn for watering his field arrives. That means, in many places, what they used to do is they used to water their fields in a prearranged schedule of turns. One day, this person is allowed to use the water to water his field. The next day, the neighboring person is allowed to use the water to water his field. So let's say it became his turn. His turn came around to use the water to water his field, but he became a avel. So now if he's not going to use the water that day, he's going to lose his turn. So he's not allowed to do it, the avel himself, but others are allowed to do it for him. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af zorim lo sedenir v'sadeh ha'omedet lepishtan. Rabbi Yehuda says, other people also, zorim lo sedenir, they're allowed to sow for him the plowed field. Let's say the field was plowed, they're allowed to put the seeds for him. Or sadeh ha'omedet lepishtan, or let's say a field that was made for growing flax. So you need to put in the seeds in its time immediately. That's critical for the success of the produce. So therefore, if it happened that he plowed his field and all of a sudden he became avel, other people can do it for him. Amru lo, Chachamim told him that im lo tizara bebakir, tizara beafil. Other people don't need to do it during his avelut, because so what? If the field is not going to be sown in the early part of the season, it could be sown later. You can plant the seeds later on and it's not going to lose. Maybe it won't be as best quality, but it's not considered davar ha'aved. Im lo tizara pishtan, tizara mimin acher. If you won't be able to use it for growing flax, then you'll have to use it for another species, which means it's not considered such a big loss, and therefore the Chachamim did not allow it even for others to do for the avel. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, Zetav hafuchin. Let's say he already turned over his olives to be pressed. Ve'en sham uman elahu. Now, let's say there's no other skilled person to do it except him. He's the only one who will be able to do it properly. Or kado laguf, ve'en sham uman elahu. Or let's say his barrels need to be sealed now with tar, and there's no skillful person to do it properly except him, the avel. Pishtano leha'alot min hamishra, or to remove the pishtan, the flax, from the soaking water. Vetzimro leha'alot min hayora, or to remove his wool from the pot in which it's being boiled to be dyed. Ve'en sham uman elahu, and there's no other skillful person to do it except him. Hareze ya'ase betzin'ah. Rabban Shimon Gamliel allows him, the avel himself, to do it, but to do it for himself privately. Yeter al ken, amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Even more than this, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said, im haya uman larabim. Let's say the avel was a uman, he was a craftsman for the rabim, who serves the public, which means that his services are necessary for the rabim, for the public. Vesapa, or let's say he was a barber. Ubalan, or let's say he was a bathhouse worker, a bath attendant, larabim for the purpose of the public, vehigia et haregel, and now the time of the chag, erev chag has come, and everybody needs a haircut, or everybody needs to go to the bathhouse, to the mikveh, ve'en sham uman elahu, and he became a avel, and there's no other uman, there's no other skillful person to do it except him, hare ze yaseh. Then he's allowed to perform this labors for the public, because the needs of the public takes precedence over the isur of working during the days of Avelut. The Braita continues and says, Ha'arisin ve'achachirin ve'hakablanin hare elu ya'asu acherim bishvilan. These are three different types of workers on the land. Arisin are sharecroppers. They work on the owner's farm, on the owner's land, and their payment is a percentage of the crop. They don't get paid money, they get paid produce, depending on the agreement that they made, either 50% or 25%, whatever it may be. That's a aris. Aris is a worker on the land for a percentage of the crop that grows. Chachirin is also a worker on the land who doesn't get paid money, but he gets paid a certain amount of crop, which means no matter how much the land produces, he gets a set amount of produce for the year as his payment. Veha kablanim, kablanim means, normally it's translated as contractors, it means someone who gets paid a certain amount of money for the whole year or for the whole project that he is in charge of. So these three types of workers, if let's say lo alenu they became avelim, hare elu yasu acherim bishvilam, they're allowed to tell other people to work, to do their work instead of them. They themselves are not allowed to work during the shiva, but they're allowed to have someone else doing it for them, because here, if they don't work, if no work is done, then the owners of the farm, of the land, will lose out. So there is hefsed here, and therefore it's allowed for them to tell others to work for them. Hachamarin vehagamalin vehasapanin hare elu lo ya'asu. However, let's say chamarim are donkey drivers. Gamalin are camel drivers. Sapanim are sailors. So hare elu lo ya'asu. Other people cannot do their work for them. Even other people cannot do it for them during their shiva. Ve'im ayu muhkarim o muskarim etzel acherim. However, if let's say they were leased out or hired out by others, they were doing their driving as an agreement of chachira or haskara, then, meaning renting, in that case, they themselves are allowed to do their work, because they cannot be replaced without any loss of money. So that's why hare elu yasu. Sechir yom, someone who is hired by the day to do work, afilu be'ir acheret lo ya'aseh, even if he is in a different city, which means that people don't know about his status of a mourner, that he's a avel, still he is not allowed to do his work. Because it is a halakha, by a poel, by a day, by a worker, by the day, he has the right to change his mind in middle of the day even, and to stop doing his work and just to accept payment for half the day. And therefore, in this case as well, there's not such a hefsed, and mimela, if he became a avel, a schir yom cannot do work. Haita melechet acherim biyado, if the melacha of other people was in his hand. For example, if let's say he received fabric and his job was to make a suit, to tailor a suit out of it. That's called melechet acherim biyado, that he's supposed to do a certain melacha for other people. So being that this is something that can be done after, he can finish this after time, he doesn't need to do it immediately. Afal pi shebekibolet, even though it's bekablanut, even though he's receiving a set amount of money for this project, lo ya'aseh, he's not allowed to do this work during the Shiva. So the Gemara immediately pauses here and asks on the Lashon of the Braita, what do you mean when you say, afal pishe bekibolet, even though it's bekablanut, velo mibaya she'ena kibolet? And what do you mean to say that? And surely in a case where it's not bekablanut, adraba, kibolet kedidei dami. In the case of kibolet, we understand when it's bekablanut, so then it's considered as if it's his own work, because he's simply receiving payment for the task when he completes it. So that's like his own work. So there, I understand in that case that you should not do the work during the Shiva, because it's like his own work. So what do you mean, afal pi shebekibolet, as if that's a bigger chidush? Therefore, the Gemara says, no, ela ema, rather, you have to amend the text of the Braita, and the Braita should be understood, ben kibolet, ben she'ena kibolet lo ya'ase, which means, whether the melachav acherim is done through kablanut, that he's paid a set amount for the task, or if whether it's by contract, or if it's not by contract, he is not allowed to do it during the Shiva. The Braita finishes off, the final words of the Braita, Haita melachto biyad acherim, if he gave his melacha to other people, in the hands of other people to do for him, so then beveto lo ya'asu, if he becomes a avel, so it should not be done in his house, bebayit acher ya'asu, in the house of someone else, it can be done. So the Gemara relates to us the following. Marion bere de Ravin, Marion the son of Ravin, the great Amora, umar bere de Rav Acha bere de Rava, and Mar the son of Rav Acha, who was the son of Rava, hava lehu hahu gamla de Torah behade hadade. They had an ownership of two oxen between them. They had a partnership of two, they owned two oxen between them, each one owned one ox. Itrea be milta be mar bere de Rav Acha bere de Rava. A tragedy happened to Mar, the son of Rav Acha bere de Rava, which means a relative of his died. Upaskele gamle. And he detached his ox from the team of the two oxen, which means now, because of that, no work was able to be performed by this team of two oxen. And he didn't want work to be performed with his animal during the days of his Shiva. So he detached his ox. Amar Rav Ashe said, Gavra Rabba kemar bered Rav Acha avid hachi. A great man like Mar, the son of Rav Acha, should do such a thing, should behave this way. Nehi delipseda dide lo chayish. Okay, it's okay if he's not concerned about his own loss. Ade acherim lo chayish, but is he not concerned about the loss of others, which means his partner? Because of him, his partner cannot do work either. Vehatanya, did we not learn before in the Braita, imayu muskarim o muhkarim etzel acherim, that if the animals or the people were hired or leased out to others, then they're allowed to do work, even though they are avelim, because it's going to cause a hefset to other people. Hare elu yasu, it says. So in that case, why not allow the partner to work with his animal, with the animal of Mar, the son of Rav Acha? Why did he detach his own not to do any work? Vehu savar, however, the reason of Mar behind what he did, Vehu savar adam chashuv shani. He held that there is a svara to say that when it comes to an important person, it's different. Even though the halakha basically is that it's mutar, but someone who's chashuv has to be machmir with himself so that people don't learn to take the halakha lightly, and he has to show an example of chumrah. So that's what he held. Although Rav Ashi disagreed and held that in this case, he could have allowed his partner to do the work for him. But this is the svara behind the behavior of Mar Bered Rav Acha, because he thought Adam Chashuv Shani is different.